Well, 3 weeks is really not long enough to explore all the implications of Sabbath in our lives. We're barely scratching the surface. We often make the mistake of thinking about Sabbath purely in terms of individual rest from work. Or we think about family Sabbath rules we might have had growing up, or about church rules or community expectations around doing anything on Sunday that could be construed as non-essential work. And that's about the extent of what Sabbath theology we have, what we do or don't do on Sunday individually. But Sabbath goes infinitely deeper than taking a personal break from work. And yes, as I said last week, Sabbath is about work stoppage, but that has implications far beyond personal rest. Sabbath rest is good for us individually, of course, very good. It's good for body and soul and spirit to get breaks from work. Rest is a gift we should all be immensely grateful for and that we should all practice individually. But if that's where we stop in our thinking about Sabbath, we are missing maybe the most important part. For people of Jewish and Christian faith, Sabbath is at the heart of community and social justice. It addresses deep-seated and sinful tendencies we have as communities to consolidate power and wealth toward a privileged few, to treat certain classes of people unjustly, and to act more out of anxiety, greed, and scarcity than out of joy and generosity and abundance. That becomes obvious when we look at the Sabbath commands in the Bible. There are not only Sabbath days, there are Sabbath years. And there's even a Sabbath of Sabbath years. 49 years, after 49 years, seven sevens, there is a year of Jubilee. The justice implications of Sabbath are crystal clear when we look at the big picture, a picture we might miss if we only lock in on seventh day personal rest. But even the weekly Sabbath has communal justice orientation. So let's start there. The weekly Sabbath is an act of trust and freedom from bondage. It's no accident that God introduced the Ten Commandments, of which Sabbath is one, with these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." And therefore God said, "Do these things that make for freedom." When we worship a God who frees slaves, we cannot simultaneously enslave or oppress others. So every 7 days, Yahweh says, stop work altogether, stop producing wealth, and even stop working your servants and working your animals. By doing so, you remind yourself and your whole community that God's provision is enough. That even if you don't lift a finger for that day, God is faithful and will provide. That undermines the myth of scarcity, which in turn undermines selfish accumulation, which undermines a wealth gap between the rich and poor, which undermines consolidation of power, which undermines the use of violence and coercion to maintain that power. Practicing Sabbath is a radical act of social justice seeking. Let me say that again. Practicing Sabbath is a radical act of social justice seeking. And if you think I'm making Sabbath into something it isn't, look with me at what Sabbath year meant. And a jubilee year, the Sabbath of Sabbath years. Let me read again a few verses that we heard earlier this morning as Gloria read it from Deuteronomy 5. At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. This is how it's to be done. Every creditor shall cancel any loan they have made to a fellow Israelite. They shall not require payment from anyone. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. And then, interestingly, in a preemptive measure, to keep people from finding a loophole in the law, Yahweh explicitly commanded them not to take advantage of the system by refusing to lend to poor people toward the end of year six, because they almost certainly could not pay that debt back. God called that kind of thinking wicked in verse 9. Instead, and I quote, give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Amazing. This practice of canceling debts was done hand in hand with the practice of letting the land rest and lie fallow. No planting or cultivation was to be done in the Sabbath year. And not only that, if plants grew and produced on their own without your or our labor, for example, grapevines or olive trees, or vegetables or grain that came up volunteer, that produce was never to be bought or sold. It could be used for personal use, and you needed to let others pick it and use it as well. This was, in reality, every 7 years, a national economic readjustment to mitigate against a wealth gap. And it was an act of respect for creation. The Sabbath year was creation care, allowing the land to rest and recover on its own. Now, if you thought the Sabbath year presents some challenges for land-owning farmers who need to make some provision for their livelihood in the Sabbath year, then an even greater challenge faced them in the Jubilee year, the Sabbath of Sabbath years. In that year, not only were active debts to be canceled, all property was to revert back to its original owner. Maybe a poor farmer going through hard times 1 year in order to survive had to sell their land or property to a wealthier landowner. Or maybe persons voluntarily sold themselves into slavery in order to live because they had no land or property remaining. In the Jubilee year, the Sabbath of Sabbath years, slaves would be freed. The land and property would go back to the first owners, no matter how few or many years it had been. Now, in Judaism today, the Jubilee year is no longer practiced. One might say because it is too hard. But the stated reason is that the biblical mandate no longer applies because the majority of Jews no longer live in Israel. But be that as it may, the principle is still here outlined in the pages of our Bible. So what do we do with it? The Sabbath year, however, I would point out, is still practiced thoroughly in many Jewish communities, especially the Orthodox Jews. They have debates among themselves as to whether alternate arrangements are allowed to lessen the economic hardship, but still today, many Jewish winemakers, for instance, will bottle up their Sabbath year wine and give it away instead of selling it. My point here is that practicing Sabbath is hard, because it is far more than taking a Sunday afternoon nap instead of going to work. It's challenging because it pushes back against our individual right to earn the profits that come from our labor. People like me, who are in the upper half of society economically, are never excited about any method of wealth redistribution, because it's bound to leave our hands and end up in the hands of someone who didn't earn it. And who in their right mind wants to give away a whole year of productivity? That's why we listened again to the parable of the prodigal son this morning. Now, that story is not about Sabbath per se, but we can look at it through a Sabbath lens. It's not a coincidence that the story is told in Luke immediately after Jesus sparked several Sabbath controversies when he healed someone on the Sabbath. You see, the father in this parable has a joyful, generous Sabbath spirit. The elder brother does not. His younger, prodigal brother most definitely did not earn the cancellation of his debts. He did not deserve his original stake in the family economy. But he received it anyway. The family economic scales were readjusted. The deeper justice practice of Sabbath, the one that hits our own balance sheets, has nearly always met with resistance. Or has met with an effort to find a workaround. Now, sure, admittedly, we live in very different times than the people who were first given these laws in the Torah. The Torah was for the community of faith. These are not laws that we can just easily lift off the page of our Bible and paste them wholesale onto our complex and secular economic system. Granted. But I will say this. I think it is still well worth considering both what the Sabbath day and Sabbath year and even Jubilee might mean for us who care about being faithful to the God who loves and advocates for the poor, the oppressed, and the captive. Sabbath is an opportunity to reflect on how we may be acting unjustly or how we are participating in unjust systems and what we might do about that. In our practice of Sabbath rest, there is unjust rest and there is just rest. Let us choose just rest. Let us choose rest that is not self-serving, but mindful of those who are oppressed. I'm not saying it's inherently wrong to indulge in, say, a restful and comfortable vacation, to splurge once in a while with expensive food and fine wine and deluxe accommodations. Not saying we should never engage in recreation that others can't afford. I better say that since last Sunday I showed you pictures of me whitewater rafting, which didn't come cheap. But when I do those things, when I occasionally invest significant resources in my own personal enjoyment and recreation, even if it is fairly restful, maybe I should be slow in priding myself on taking a Sabbath. At least not until I have done deeper reflection along the line of the justice priorities of a biblical Sabbath. Let me repeat my main point here. Sabbath is far more than taking a personal rest from labor. It is about joining God's justice agenda. Release for the captive, freedom for the oppressed, food for the hungry, good news for the poor. If our Sabbath practices are ignoring those priorities, we need to revisit our practice of Sabbath and discern what God is calling us to do here and now to keep the Sabbath and make it holy. Right now, incidentally, is a very good time to think about that. You know, in our Christian tradition, we don't keep track of when the Sabbath year rolls around every 7 years, but our Jewish siblings do. And it just so happens that in the Jewish calendar, the next Sabbath year begins a week from tomorrow. And I didn't realize that until I looked it up yesterday. This year's Rosh Hashanah marks the start of the Sabbath year at sunset on Monday, September 6th. So let's get thinking now about how we might participate in God's justice agenda in this Sabbath year. And as we think, let's start by confessing our faith in the words of a new confession in the back of Voices Together, number 922, also in your bulletin this morning. And let's read this confession together. This is our faith.